Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, I'm going to try not to violate the FCC rules today. So I'm going to have to just kind of be very careful. We're going to talk about Donald and Hillary's sins versus your vote. So who said it? We're going to play this here for a minute. I got to be very, very careful. Who said it? Where is the GD blanking flag? I want the GD blinking flag up every blinking morning at blinking sunrise. Who said that? That was Hillary. That was Hillary to Arkansas State Troopers. That was in the book called The First Partner, about Labor Day 1991. Okay, here's another one. Let's do this one. For many years, I've said that if someone screws you, screw them back. When somebody hurts you, just go after them as viciously and as violently as you can, unquote. Who said that? That was Donald Trump, who said the following. Our huffing speech is unattractive both inside and out. I fully understand why her former husband left her for a man. He made a good decision. Who said that? That was Donald Trump. Okay, let's go to another one. I got to be very careful. If you want to remain on this detail, get your blanking blank over here and grab those bags. Who said that? That was Hillary to a Secret Service agent who was trained to keep his hands free at all times to protect his boss. I'm almost done because I don't want to get too close to the fire here. Stay the blank back. Stay the blank away from me. Don't come within 10 yards of me or else. Just blanking do as I say, okay? Who said that? That was Hillary Clinton to her Secret Service detail in a book called Unlimited Access. And I've got 6, 7 pages. 6 of them are Hillary, the last page, and well, 5.5 of them are Hillary. The last page is Bill. Hillary, on the New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd, said she's a short Irish blankety blank. And then Hillary to the campaign manager Paul Frey on the night of Bill's loss in his 1974 congressional race, since we're going back in time. You blanking Jew blank. Hillary Clinton. And then I've got, you know, multiple pages here, my little uncomfortable hands of Donald Trump. So the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, friends and family, Republicans, Democrats, conservatives and liberals, the reality is, and let me just cut to the quick here, both presidential candidates are, for lack of a better word, scumbags. Now, they are scumbags of a different sort. And before you get all bent out of shape and go, well, Steve, what about Hillary and Steve? And then, well, what about Trump? And then what about women? And then it's just amazing to watch what's happening in this world. So there was a really strong, well-delivered speech about 10 minutes by Michelle Obama. And she totally went after Trump and the whole sexism thing. I was listening to Glenn Beck earlier today, who was talking about, man, this powerful speech. She makes great points, blah, 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 blah. But the one thing he missed was that we have this, what we're seeing operate today is totally 100% selective moral outrage. Selective moral outrage. And if somebody's slamming Trump and they're trying to defend saying that Trump's sins are worse than Hillary's, and then you bring up abortion or Benghazi, then it blows up back in your face. And I've had these conversations with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And let me tell you, friends, this is not fun. This is not healthy. This is not good. This is causing division in the body of Christ. And so now we're having to decide how can we serve 2 or 3 or 4 masters? How can we do that? So Michelle, just a great example here, Michelle Obama, just this really powerful condemnation of Donald Trump. And based on the allegations, and even if some portion of all these allegations are true, and 2 more women have come out today, and who knows how much of this, I mean, why didn't this come out in the primary? That's pretty simple. Because the mainstream media wanted Donald Trump to win the primary. Why? Because Hillary Clinton's negatives are so high. She is such a horrible candidate that you could only win if you found somebody that you could actually make look worse than Hillary Clinton. And there, that is no easy task. And so all these stories, I'll give a listen, Glenn Beck, who's been talking about this for a year, that as soon as the if Donald Trump wins the primary in the general election, the mainstream media is holding all this garbage back, all the girl stories, all the other stuff. And as soon as he's into the general election, it's all going to come out. And the closer we get to November 8th, the more is going to come out. So then you have Hillary. So Michelle Obama, excuse me, yesterday, I think she was in Ohio or Florida, wherever it was. She just goes ballistic and it's really powerful. And you listen to that and you go, man, what a great point. However, which Michelle has said that she would, that Beyonce's like a pop star sensation, somebody that she would like her daughters to emulate. Well, what kind of person is she allowing her daughters to, or encouraging her daughters to emulate? Well, listen to this. And here I'm going to go down into the danger road again. These are some lyrics from Beyonce. So Michelle, and I would say rightfully so in many ways, lambastes Donald Trump for all these things that he's been accused of and things that he said, pages and pages of things that he said about women and da-da-da-da-da, just kind of this crass schoolyard bully. I think he's a buffoon personally and all this kind of stuff. But then she on the other, out of the other side of her mouth, she's talking about, oh, Beyonce and come into the White House. And that's awesome. Can you, it's the sweetest in the middle. That's one. I can't wait till I get home so you can turn that cherry out. Here's another one. I can't even read that one. Now my mascara is running, red lipstick smudged. Yeah, he's so blankety blank, wants to blankety blank, blankety blank, blank. She makes a reference to Monica Lewinsky. Over there, I swear I saw them cameras flash, handprints and footprints on my glass, handprints and good grips on my. And then another line that I can't read. I just won't read it. And calls her a role model, Michelle Obama. Beyonce's a role model, and Donald Trump's a scumbag. That is duplicitous moral outrage, selective moral outrage, and it applies on both sides, and both sides are doing it. So how do you handle your vote when we're dealing with two people's outrageous, publicly known sin? 866-348-7884. Okay, Brady. This is your vote, and we have some lovely net on right now. Just bumming me. So I think we're going to be okay, though. So I'm just going to keep fighting through. So I'm just going to go ahead and open up the phones. How are you dealing? And like every day, now today, I think there's a press conference going on right now. With somebody accusing Donald Trump of more groping, so on and so forth. Are all these women telling the truth? I doubt it. Are some of them? Yeah, probably. I don't know. You know, can you imagine that over the last 30 years, Donald Trump, I mean, look, it's just consistent. I mean, he's dug this hole himself. You know, it really doesn't matter what the media write as long as you've got a young and beautiful piece of blank. All of the women on The Apprentice flirted with me, consciously or unconsciously. That's to be expected. They're going to flirt with me, you know, because I'm rich and successful, yada, yada, yada. Oftentimes when I was sleeping with one of the top women in the world, I would say to myself, thinking about me as a boy from Queens, can you believe what I am getting? Show me someone without an ego and I'll show you a loser, he said. It's all in the hunt. And once you get it, it loses some of its energy. I think competitive, successful. I kept thinking, what the hell am I doing here? I was so deep into my business stuff, I couldn't think of anything else. Lovely, wonderful guy. And then Hillary. I can't read Hillary's quotes. I've got 5.5 pages of them, and I can't read them. If I read them, I'd be done on the radio. The stations carrying it would all get in trouble, and the FCC would be all over us, and rightfully so, because satellite radio would get away with it, and I'm not, nor would I ever be. But here we are, and these choices. What do you do? How are you doing this? Because Lord, please, really, am I gonna do? Do I need to do this? What? And I'm telling you, it's On one side, the pragmatic side, it's super easy. It really is. It's not a big deal at all. But on the other side of it, I'm like, oh, man, am I doing something wrong here? And I think it's good that we struggle with this and get used to it. I think we're struggling with a lot of other things as this country continues to unfold and then turn on its own origin in terms of a Judeo-Christian worldview. So this is only going to be more and more common all the time. Okay, so what are you doing? How are you feeling? What are you processing? What are you doing here with your faith and these people's sin and the vote and the Supreme Court and the future of the country? And your conscience doesn't exist in a vacuum, as I've said to a few never Trumpers. So you can play on your conscience and not violate your for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. If he gets in, for example, are going to pay a price for your conscience. Enough people to get together and do that. And conscience doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's not used. I'm not going to go into the strip joint. This can affect million people for a year. So how do you measure this? Are you going through this? I think you need to talk through this in a cold, calm way. When you call in, I'm not going to beat you up. I'm not even going to be ask a clarifying question. I want to work through this with you, because I'm not feeling great about any of this either. So that's what we have to worry about. And when I know we've got some internet glitching action going on today because I don't know. So anyway, let me just share this with you, because I think the number one question on a lot of people's mind, other than who should you vote for, is how did we get to this? How did we get to this point? How did we go from what, 5, 6 years ago, a fabulous Saturday Night Live skit, Hillary versus Donald? I mean, that's just classic Saturday Night Live humor, right? But how do we go from the reality that we're facing today, less than from the big vote? Okay. Well, believe it or not, in the New York Times, they nailed this. And this is a mathematical issue. I'm not talking about Christianity and stuff here, although I can play that into it, and I will. But check this out. Stay with me. I might have to call in with a phone because the internet, for some reason, we've got problems here, and it's breaking up. So for people on Facebook, if you're listening, and you can tell me if the sound quality is it really bad right now for you guys, and I'm just checking because I don't know. So just be patient for now. So check this out. Here's the deal. Here's the math. The United States is home to 324 million people. Each square, this is a thing on the New York Times, so it represents a million people. So it's this big grid, okay? 324 million people in America. 103 million of them are children, non-citizens, or ineligible felons, and they do not have the right to vote. Take them right out of the picture. 88 million at all. Even in the general election, 88 million eligible adults, 18 and over, not convicted felons, they're legally able to vote. They don't. Even in the general election, 88 million simply don't vote. An additional 73 million did not vote in the primaries this year, but they'll most likely vote in the general election. The remaining 60 million people, and I'm going to go back through this again. I'll call into the show. I'll literally call into my own show. We'll do it that way. The remaining 60 million people voted in the primaries, about 30 million each for Republicans and Democrats. But half of the primary voters chose other candidates. Well, we had like 16 choices for a while for the Republicans. And then there was 14% of eligible adults, which is 9% of the whole nation. 14% of eligible adults voted for either Mr. Trump or Mrs. Clinton, meaning 86% of eligible adults didn't vote for either one of them. Yet, here we are. So you got to reverse that and go, what's the problem? Well, the problem is you got 73 million people who didn't even bother to vote in the primary. They don't even show up. What is that? That's unbelievable apathy. Here's another one. Another 88 million don't vote at all. 88 million plus 73 million is what? And 51 million people who didn't bother to do anything in the primary, which left it to 60 million people who did vote in the primary, about 30 million for the Republicans and about 30 million for the Democrats. And of those 60 million, a certain percentage voted for Trump or Clinton, which equals 14% of the eligible adults of America. 14%. Of eligible adults in America put Hillary in as the Democrat nominee and Trump in ignorance come at a remarkably high price. A remarkably high price. Apathy, people not bothering to get involved, which if you're a Christian and you don't bother to vote in the primaries of the general election, that's a total violation of neighbor love. I think you don't vote because you don't care. Whatever, I've got my house, my two cars, my job, some savings. I go to Disney. I go to the mountains. I go to the beach. Things are okay. My health is relatively fine. You know, they're all corrupt anyway, so who cares? I just don't bother. I think that's remarkably self-centered, and you're certainly worrying about yourself to a certain extent, but I don't think you really give a rip about anybody else. Because who cares? Except the governmental system and the charge affect all 324 million of us. So we care about our neighbors and to a certain extent, not even about ourselves. All right, I'm going to call in and get past this technical stuff. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action Radio talking about and
welcome back to Steve Noble, the first caller on today's Call to Action radio show. I'm calling myself. Isn't that kind of funny? Well, for whatever reason, we have an internet problem, which has unfortunately gotten to be a little bit of a regular issue over here where I'm at on the campus of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Not a big knock on them, but there's been a lot of construction in the building that I'm in, and so perhaps it's something going on there. So instead of just bailing and playing in a best-of show, I'm just going to stay with you and do it by phone. And I know for some of you that when I was going through all these numbers in the last segment that perhaps you didn't catch it. So I want to take you through this just once again because that's the big question on a lot of people's minds, and you see it all over Facebook, you hear it on the radio, is that how did we get here? How did we get to the point where we have two, and I wouldn't call Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton garden variety sinners because of the positions that they've held, the notoriety that they've experienced. And for Hillary, 30 years in public office and Secretary of State and a U.S. Senator and a First Lady, all that stuff, that the game is much bigger for people like these two and their impact on not only the people around them, but their nation and even to a certain extent, certainly in Hillary's case, the world. And so we have all this selective moral outrage because there's so much to look at and judge righteously on both sides. And so I get really uncomfortable when people try to deflect the allegations about Donald Trump by pointing out all the terrible things about Hillary Clinton, and most of those are true and verifiable and factual. And so people, you could play it this way. Donald Trump has probably groped some women, treated women horribly, and said horrible things. But Hillary Clinton, at the very least, we can talk about Benghazi. At the very worst, we can talk about, and I put this story up on Facebook earlier today, the fact that with Obama and Hillary Clinton in the State Department selling arms to Syrian refugees, which ended up helping ISIS and enabling trying to take down Assad's regime, and everything we've done, all the monkeying around with the Middle East to help give rise to ISIS. So while Donald Trump might be groping and treating a certain number of women horribly, ISIS is sexually abusing, beheading, and selling off women by the thousands. So which one is worse, right? We can play this game all day. I had a friend on Facebook said, well, at least Hillary's not for forced abortions like China. And I was like, are you kidding me? Really? So now we have to compare it. In order to make Hillary look not so bad, we have to compare her to the one-child rule, now the two-child rule in China, where they forced at least 400 million abortions that anybody can figure out to make her look better. Forget that. On both sides, we are dealing with deeply flawed people here, which, by the way, pick up your stone and start throwing away, you who is without sin. And that's what comes back to me. I'm like, hey, listen, all the junk in my life of 50 years, take out the first 10 or 12, but all the junk after that, before Christ, after Christ, take all that stuff out, blast it all over Fox News and CNN and MSNBC, and I'm in big trouble, brothers and sisters, big trouble to have all my junk out there. But I'm not an elected official, and so and running for president. So it's just crazy. So how did we get here? It's apathy, number one. ignorance number two. Again, let me share the math with you. And I'll put this back up on my Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio, and I'll make sure we put it on the homepage at C2AToday.com, where, by the way, you can get your tickets for Call to Action. We definitely want you there for Call to Worship on November 1st, and we'll get back to free ticket giveaways on Monday. But I just want to dive down this road. So remember, 324 million people in America, okay? 103 million of them are ineligible, okay? Because they're kids, they're non-citizens, or they're felons. They don't have the right to vote, 103 million. Take them right out of the picture. 88 million adults do not vote at all. 88 million adults do not vote at all, okay? Take them out. An additional 73 million did not vote in the primaries this year. Take them out. So who are we left with? 60 million people, 20% of the nation, 60 million people voted in the primaries, about 30 million each for Republicans and Democrats. But half of the primary voters chose other candidates, Bernie, Ted Cruz, whoever. Just 14% of eligible adults, 9% of the whole nation, 14% of eligible adults voted for either Mr. Trump or Mrs. Clinton. So apathy and then ignorance is how we ended up here. And for us as Christians, if you're a Christian, you're a Christ follower, and you don't engage in the political process, you're standing on the sideline, and this is like the parable of the Good Samaritan. So there's the guy on the side of the road, bloody, bruised, just dying. That's your country. And you just walk on by. I'm not even going to try. I don't care. I'm not going to try. It doesn't matter anyway. He's too far gone. I can't save him. And so you just walk by. And we have 14% of eligible adults then who picked Clinton and Trump. And so we get essentially what we don't pay for. Okay, I'm going to try to get a little crazy here. We'll try to take some calls, which is a little tricky because I'm on the phone too, but I think we can do this. So if you want to chime in on this situation, I mean, I could go off on this for the rest of the show, but I would love to hear how you're dealing with it. Hopefully that will encourage me and challenge me and other people too. But how are you specifically, and don't call in here to kind of make a case for who you're voting for. Just how are you kind of processing through the fact that we have two deeply flawed candidates? And if you're if you've been planning on voting for Trump, with each allegation, is it getting any more difficult for you? Or is your assumption that they're all just a bunch of lies? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Or 866-34-TRUTH. All right, I'm going to try to bring my friend Ann from Huntersville, North Carolina on. Ann, you're on with Steve. Are you there?
Hi, Steve. I am here. my brain is whirling. I'm whirling.
Yeah, I get it. I'm with you.
Well, first of all, everything you said is so right on and so balanced and unafraid. But I'll tell you something, if I can just sort of blather on just a little bit for a while, because it's just driving me nuts, especially those, God bless them, who want to take a noble stand, well, you should pardon the expression, and not vote at all. You know, that's basically voting for Hillary. And I mean, let's face it, these are the signs of the times. The USA has kicked God out of everything. Ichabod, God's glory is slowly departing. It's a violent time, that kingdom of God, the violent take it by force, all that stuff. We have to be big boys and girls, have to get over our self-righteous high horse and face facts, because, yes, Trump has an awful past. He's imperfect. Have you ever looked in the mirror lately? You know, none of us are. We're all saved by grace. But he's surrounding himself with marvelous people, and I truly believe, regardless of his rough edges, he wants to help America. Because, you know, you think the Bible is just replete with our favorite heroes, you know, who have feet of clay, and they sin, some of them in the most heinous ways, but they were friends of God. And it's God's amazing grace, you know, the song, the lovely hymn everybody sings by John Newton, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, and so on. But he was a former slave trader and a womanizer and a deplorable sinner. And when he found Jesus Christ, he said, there are two things I know. I'm a very great sinner, and I have a very great Savior.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he was friends with Wilberforce, who spent his whole political career, you know, and ruined his health in the fight to abolish slavery. Hillary, I mean, again, these are the two choices we have, folks. This is Hillary was she, I mean, I got to just run over, mentored by Saul Alinsky, who dedicated his
book. Oh, yeah, yeah, and I'm with you, and I've got a bunch of other callers that I got to get to.
Okay, sorry about that, Steve.
That's all right. Thanks so much for sharing and calling in today. And yeah, like the WikiLeaks stuff, but in the mainstream media, there's all this, there's so much garbage on Hillary. There is so much garbage on Hillary. So for me right now, even with as disgusting as it seems to be with Donald Trump's past, and let's discount 50% of these charges as just totally bogus, throw them out. But the other 50%, you know, I think he's a buffoon. I think he's a dirtbag. I think all kinds of negative stuff about Donald Trump. But there's the verifiable facts and the history and the policy issues and actual things that have happened with Hillary and then Donald, who's surrounding himself with some great people. Yep. But can we trust that? Has he ever listened to anybody? I don't know. He never had to. So he can do that. That's optics. It looks good. He's an opportunist. So, of course, he's going to surround himself with people that are going to appeal to Christians and to Republicans and conservatives. But that could all be a ruse. I trust him about as far as I can throw him. But I still think the case, if we're just going purely based on practical things in history, the case is way more ironclad to keep Hillary out than it is to keep Donald out. But we're still dealing. This is not comfortable at all, to say the least. I don't have a lot of time here before the break, but let's go to Meredith, who's calling in from Stanley, North Carolina. Meredith, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve. The way our family's dealing with this is prayer, because, like you said, both candidates have their issues. I do agree that it scares me for Hillary to be in there. I think one Clinton in the lifetime is enough. What the Democratic Party kind of stands for, abortion, you know, gay marriage, everything, is against everything that I feel like Christians, you know, stand for. So our family has just gathered together, constantly in prayer that God would provide us with the best, the leader that would try to turn America towards Him and not
absolutely.
Away.
Absolutely, Meredith. And so thank you so much for bringing that up, because that's the only thing that we're coming down to is the power of prayer, which is the most powerful thing we have. So let's not neglect that, friend. Let's be in deep, agonizing Daniel kind of prayer for these candidates and for our nation. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Shazam! Thank you, Lord. Back on the regular connection. And I want to get back to our busy phones here in a second. Hopefully we'll have time at the end. I want to read this letter. This was just written 2 days ago. Pastor Jack Graham, huge church down in Dallas, Texas, Southern Baptist, very conservative evangelical, really involved in the Harvest Crusades, friends of Greg Laurie. He's been on this show before, and just a very pastoral letter. He's on that evangelical advisory committee for Donald Trump. And I just want to read it because it brings a great pastoral perspective to it that I think for those of us that name the name of Jesus Christ, we need to hear. Okay, so let me get through these calls because I really want to hear what you're saying. And then I want to read this letter to you in full. Pastor Jack Graham, who's been pastoring in a massive church for decades on Donald Trump. So let's jump over to, I want to make sure I respect your time. Let's go to Wendy, who's there in Holly Springs. Wendy, turn your radio down, please. All right, Wendy, just say, hey, Howard, talk to Wendy. Make sure she turns her radio down, please. Let's go to Faye, who's in Winston-Salem. Faye, you're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to reiterate what Franklin Graham said yesterday and on the lawn of Calvin and Raleigh, is that we need to be far more informed of the policies of each of the parties and vote party policy over individual, because it's the party policy as a whole that I think will make the most impact on their decisions. And when we go to the polls and vote, when we see the names of each candidate, presidential candidate, we need to be thinking Supreme Court. We don't need to look at that individual's name. We need to think Supreme Court. Who do we want to be appointing our justices of the Supreme Court?
Yeah, and
that's the most important thing to keep in mind.
Yep.
Because the policies of the Democratic Party are so incredibly liberal. Do we really want that for our future,
country? Faye, thanks for calling. Yep, thanks for calling in and sharing that. And a lot of people are talking about the Supreme Court. I'm sorry, Faye, that I had to get through that so quick. I just want to get to these other callers as well. And, of course, the Supreme Court. And yesterday, with the Franklin Graham thing, 10, 13, 14,000 people at the state capitol here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And my fear whenever I see that stuff now is that all the people that actually vote? and not the people that, and the people that don't vote don't show up. They're not doing anything. They're not praying. And then the other thing, and I would remind you of this in the book of Amos, chapter 5 in the Old Testament. We could have so much sin in our own camp. Pornography, pride, materialism, you name it. We don't pray for those in authority over us. Even the ones we like, we don't pray for them. So imagine this, Amos chapter 5, verse 21. I hate, I despise your feasts. This is God talking to his people. And I take no delight in your solemn assembly. So imagine that. Our sin could be so egregious inside the church that yesterday, when all these wonderful people come together and they're singing and praying and all that, God sticks his fingers in his proverbial eternal ears and goes, I don't want to hear it. I don't take any of this stuff from you. Why? Because there's so much sin in our own hearts. I think we have to ask that question. As a nation, as a church, and certainly as individuals, although you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fat animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. Imagine this. To the melody of your harps, I will not listen. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. That's the answer. A sin, righteousness exalts a nation, but a sin is a reproach to any people, right? The nation. But in the body of Christ, let's make sure, friend, please. I've been guilty of this for years. Make sure that we're not getting a PhD in Hillary and Donald's sin, but only a GED in our own. God demands holiness from us in the body, not them. They're under condemnation until they're born again. Then the demand for holiness, I mean, they're under condemnation because they can't be holy. You know what I mean? If you've studied the scripture enough, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Let's go to Dale, who's calling in from Winston-Salem. Dale, thanks for calling and being on hold. You're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Holding it together, brother.
I think Faye nailed it. But I have a different perspective a little bit. And this is a question I wanted to call in and ask and just never did. But for me, it's easy because I've been doing a little bit of studying. I believe that she's the Antichrist, and or he could be it too, but I think she's a little on the worse side. But I've read a little bit that some things about the last American president could be the Antichrist.
Yeah, and that's
in there today from the papacies in the Roman Catholic Church. He could be what they call the beast, because some of the things he's coming up with is right in line with
it. Yeah, and that's the shocking thing about all of this. And Dale, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that. That's the shocking thing about all this, that it just reeks of end times, does it not? Regardless of whether you believe in the rapture or not, Jesus coming back, things getting progressively worse. And it's just, you're just like, oh my, is this speeding up? Or is that just social media and the internet allows us to see things more rapidly and then it amplifies everything? Now, I think things are speeding up. We went from no gay marriage and not even a thought of it in 3 decades. Now it's celebrated. And now gender's on the chopping block. And that'll take 5 or 6 years. And gay marriage took 30. Mark my words. Gender, they'll expand the definition. This is why the Supreme Court is so important. You get the wrong candidate. You get the wrong justice on there. Now it's 5-4. And they're going to redefine sex discrimination to be gender identity, sexual identity, all of it. Total sexual anarchy. That's where that's going. So that's where you got to go. Okay, I get the conscience thing. I totally get it. But your conscience, if you refuse to vote for Trump because he's such a dirtbag, if your conscience is not occurring in a vacuum, and other people, your children, my children, our grandchildren, other people's kids will pay a price. That's the way I'm looking at it. And I don't think pragmatism is a sin. And God knows if I walk in there on November 8th and I have to just hold my nose and try to keep from throwing up all over the ballot and fill in the little circle for Donald Trump, God knows I am not endorsing anything about the guy's character. And he also knows I'm in fear and trembling that he's even going to follow through on what he says he's going to do. Listen, the guy's been an autocrat for 30 years. He doesn't have to really listen to people that much. The final decision is always his. Do you think that he, just because he's the president, that's going to change? You have checks and balances there, but there's some wonderful people around him. But he doesn't have to listen to him, does he? But then we know all kinds of things about Hillary because she does have a governmental track record, and it's a train wreck. Oh, Lord, help us. Let's go to James, who's calling in Rock Hill, South Carolina. James, thanks for calling. You're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve. How's it going?
I've been better.
Well, I've got, you know, hear all this stuff on, you know, Christian news sources about you have to vote for either Trump or Hillary and the lesser of two evils. But the way I see it, you know, Trump is still evil. Evil is evil no matter how you get to it. Personally, my choice is either going to be Daryl Castle in the Constitution Party or Evan McMullen, because both of them seem to be God-honoring candidates.
Have you ever voted for a third party before, James, or will this be the first time?
This will be the first time I voted for a third party. I'm 18, so I just started voting this year, actually.
Oh, praise the Lord for you. I'm glad that you're voting. Too many of your peers are not.
Yeah, I know. I voted for Ted Cruz in the primaries.
Yeah, so what's this like for you? 18, first time in, and we give you this. I mean, what are you thinking about people that are older than you?
It's certainly discouraging. I don't know. It's crazy what a wreck this country's become.
Well, let me ask you a tough question, then I'll let you go. So what are you going to do, James, about 4 years from now when we go through this process again, whether it's Trump or Hillary in there? What are you going to do? What do you think we should do to avoid this problem in the future?
Well, I believe that, you know, you got to look at the candidates and choose a God-honoring choice. You know, God's in control, so it's not up to us who becomes president. Ultimately, it's in his hands. So I believe that we should choose the candidate who most closely reflects biblical principles and vote for the most biblical candidate, regardless of what the chances may or may not be, because that's the most God-honoring thing to do.
Yeah. Well, James, let me just apologize for the nation for the first time that you have to get in and vote in a presidential election, that we've been asleep at the wheel for so many years and so many people not voting at all, that we're dropping all this kind of stuff on you guys and your generation, and it's dereliction of duty on our part. But I'm glad you're involved. I don't agree with your decision, but I'm glad you're in there and you're trying to do something right and you're trying to honor the Lord, and I believe that matters to him.
Yep.
Okay, brother, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for calling in today. And, you know, it's tough, right? It's tough. Am I going to bark at him for doing what he thinks is best as a Christian? I disagree with him. But does our unity supersede all of this stuff? I think it does. We have to remember that. They'll know your mind by the way you love one another. It's just this is the price of apathy, friends. This is the price. And then it's all over the place with all this stuff going on, and I just keep hearing Edmund Burke yelling at me from the 1800s, Steve, 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 all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And you guys did nothing. Too many of you did nothing. And that's why evil is having its way. This is Dr. Jack Graham. For the past 5 months, I, along with 24 others, have been part of Donald Trump's Religious Advisory Council. Our responsibility is to offer prayer, spiritual support, and pastoral counsel. We are not making group statements or sending press releases. We are not judges. We are counselors. So he's talking about their reaction and how they deal with it. I can tell you from my perspective, we have been given generous access to Mr. Trump and vice presidential nominee Mike Pence. In fact, I've been amazed as to how much freedom the council has been offered and willingness of Mr. Trump to listen. Every one of us have shared our faith in Christ and has sought to be his witnesses. From the beginning, there have been questions relative to Mr. Trump's character and his qualifications. He just goes down this road. The question has been raised, is Donald Trump repentant? We are often asked, is Donald Trump a Christian? And of course, should he be president? Well, I'm going to be really rude here, and because I need to do this letter justice, and because the election isn't next Tuesday, I'm going to post it online. I'll put it on my Facebook page right now, facebook.com/C2A Radio. I'm going to leave it right here in the studio, and I'm going to read this in full, slowly and thoroughly, on Monday. And back to what Faye said and some other people said, we better make sure we're in prayer. We need supernatural help. So let's make sure we're in prayer. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, C2AToday.com or Facebook.com/C2A Radio. God willing, I'll talk to you again on Monday.